person, they said, yeah, I don't want to do that. Oh, we feel so deflated, right? We taught them the scriptures. We showed them that this is what the Bible says. And then they walked away from it. Unmet expectations have a big way of causing our burnout to accelerate. And part of what Elijah learned was that he could expect God to be faithful in his own time. And that it wasn't going to just be these dramatic events like the fire coming down on Mount Carmel. It was still going to be the proclamation of God's word, the people turning back to faith, the faithfulness of God, before they would really turn around. So be on guard for those unmet expectations. Next, what do we see? You know, in the book we talk about drawing near to God, purifying our environment, using our zeal for God's glory, dealing with burnout. We talk about spreading our zeal. Well, Moses spreads his zeal, especially Moses spreads his zeal to Joshua. He goes and instructs Joshua how he could be the next leader within the land. Look with me, ignore Exodus for a second. Come back to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 29. You can see the instruction and the way that Moses is changing Joshua's thinking here in chapter 11. Verse 26, there were two men that remained in the camp. One was Eldad. The name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. I know you don't know what this has to do with it, but follow me. Numbers 11, 26, Eldad and Medad. The Spirit rested upon them, and they were among those who had been registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And they prophesied within the camp. So a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the attendant of Moses from his youth, he said, Moses, my Lord, restrain them. There's Joshua, and his thinking isn't quite clear. Joshua thinks, wait a minute, the only person that should be prophesying in the camp is Moses. Everybody needs to listen to Moses. Moses, restrain them. Don't let them do this. But Moses says, verse 29, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. Moses says, Joshua, don't be jealous for me. It's not a problem that God has sent his Spirit on these two men. Wouldn't it be great if everyone was so faithful to the Lord that he knew their hearts, that he would send their Spirit, that they could all be prophets? Again, it's Moses' great humility that Joshua is learning from there in this leadership position. It's not about him. It's about the Lord. We need people to pour into us these kind of lessons. I heard in a podcast on leadership one day that we're all kind of like a cup that's half full of water. And some people think they have to wait till that cup is all the way full before they start pouring into the hearts and the lives of others. But the truth is, we all have something we've learned. We all have something we've figured out at this stage of our life that we should be sharing with someone else. And if we'll all share what we've learned along the way, then we're all going to come out stronger for it. Moses does this beautifully. Okay, now back to Exodus. The whole reason I wrote this entire sermon is Exodus 33. If you're not going to turn to anything else this morning, please read these verses with me. Exodus 33, verse 12, down to verse 23. We're coming to the end of Moses' life, and he truly has lifelong zeal. Verse 12 says, Moses says to the Lord, see that you say to me, bring up this people. But you yourselves have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, that I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. What Moses says in verse 13 is shocking. God, I want to know you and your ways. Friends, in the history of the world, Moses is in the top 10 of people who most know God and who most know God's ways. He has spoken with the Lord from the burning bush. He has spoken with the Lord in all this leadership. And now he says, I want to know you even more. That's impressive. Look at verse 14. So he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth? Moses says, not only do I want to know you, but I want to be part of your distinguished, distinct people. And if we're not going to be part of your distinct people, then I don't even want to do this. Guys, I understand we can look up and down the streets of this city, and there may be some growing religious groups that we can steal some good ideas on advertising or something like that, but our job is not to look like some other growing religious group. Our job is to look like the church of the New Testament. Amen. We are to be the distinguished, distinct people of God. If we're not interested in that, then like Moses, we ought to throw in the towel right now. I want to know Him, and I want to be His set-apart people. What did Titus 2 say? That means being set apart, to be zealous for good deeds. That's the people we are trying to become. But He does us one more. Verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing for which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. And Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show compassion on whom I show compassion. He said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. The Lord said, there is a place by me. You shall stand there on the rock. I will come about that while my glory is passing by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, cover you with my hand until I have passed by, and I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. He wants to see the glory of God. Friends, lifelong zeal is to know God, to be His people, and to be consumed with wanting to see His glory. And Moses stands on that mountain, and he sees the back of God, and we have been promised heaven. What Moses gets is a glimpse through a crack in a rock, and we have been promised heaven. I want to live my life desiring to see His glory in all its fullness. That keeps my fire burning. That keeps me going. I want to be like Moses. I just so admire his heart here. Lifelong zeal is not just about staying busy. It's not just about drinking a little bit more caffeine. It is about having a nearness to God that changes the way we live, that radically redefines our priorities. He wants to know God. He wants to be His people. He wants to see His glory. And because of Jesus' death on the cross, we can see the glory of God, a God who is gracious and shows great compassion. I would tell you that Moses' zeal is lifelong. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 1 through 7, and the lesson is yours this morning. Chapter 34, Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, and all of Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, and the Negev and the plain in the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zor. And the Lord said to him, this is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, opposite of Beth Peor, but no man knows his burial place to this day. Although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eye was not dim, nor his vigor abated. His zeal had not diminished. That is lifelong zeal. I've had other preachers just laugh and say, who do you think you are as a 30-year-old guy writing a book called Lifelong Zeal? It can't be based on my life experience. It has to be based on the people like Moses, whose zeal was not diminished. Guys, our desire is to have a spiritual fire that burns to the glory of God, and that when we die, it's not extinguished, but that fire just continues to burn, to bless, and to honor God through all eternity with Him. Let us be committed to pursuing that kind of zeal together. Thank you so much for your attention this morning.